In the name of the Father,
and of the Son,
and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and put to confusion that desire my hurt. Almighty and merciful God, of whose only gift it cometh that thy faithful people do unto thee true and laudable service, grant, we beseech thee, that we may so faithfully serve thee in this life that we fail not finally to attain thy heavenly promises. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Today's confessional reading from Luther's Small Catechism, as the head of the family should teach them in a simple way to his household. The office of the keys and confession. What is confession?
Confession is two parts. One is that we confess our sins. The other that we receive absolution or forgiveness from the past.
Prophet Isaiah, chapter 29, verses 18 and 19. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. This is the reading of the Epistle, the Old Testament. The epistle reading is from the second letter of the Apostle Paul to the Christians in Corinth, chapter 3, verses 4 through 11. And in such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more thus the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remains is glorious. This is the reading of the Epistle. Here ends the reading of the Gospel.
Christian Church,
as expressed in the Council of Nicaea, the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten and sovereign before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended to heaven, and stood on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the great and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost,
Will you pray with me? Let the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Our text this morning is the gospel reading, the gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 7, from 31 to the end of the chapter, verse 37. I'd like to call your attention at this time to verses 34 and 35. Then, looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." Immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. Please be seated. Interesting to read commentaries or listen to sermons, for that matter, on this text. Lots of ideas are expressed about what was going on with Jesus touching his ears and tongue and spitting. Lots of some rather strange notions going on. But one thing that they seem to focus in on is what Jesus is doing here as an expression of his compassion for this man who can neither hear nor speak. And I think that's certainly true. But I ask you, how do you get across to someone who can't hear and can't speak? Nowadays, they do sign language. I hope I haven't cursed or anything, because I am ignorant when it comes to sign language. But isn't that? You use some physical expression, visual, that gets across your point. We're concerned with your ears. We want to take care of that speech problem, it seems to me. And then he doesn't touch him to work some kind of magic, if you will, which is their desire when they bring him. He takes him aside, away from the confusion and distraction of the crowd, does this for him, and then speaks the word, "Ephphatha," translated, "be open." And it is open. Hearing. There's almost no other human concept in the scriptures more important or repeated over and over again than the concept of hearing. Old Testament, New Testament, beginning to end. One of the best known expressions down through the centuries, both with God's people of the Old Testament, with the Jewish religion that developed later to this day, is Deuteronomy 6:4, known as the Shema. The Hebrew word, listen. Shema, hear. Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. That's the Shema. And we hear that concept expressed in other words throughout the New Testament as well. Old Testament, sadly, very often, most often, that Shema Koli, listen to my voice, hear my voice, is translated, obey my voice. And I think there's reason for that, but let me go on. In the New Testament, Christ, again and again in the Gospels, cries out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Talked about the Old Testament, now the New Testament. The last book of the New Testament, as we have it arranged, the last written chronologically, the letters to the churches, seven churches of Asia, called Revelation. Each of the seven letters concludes, "He who has ears to hear,
Let him hear.
And of course, Paul says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But Paul also says, you were dead in trespasses and sins. Dead ears are deaf as a post. Not hearing at all. They need that word, Ephatha, the word of Christ, to be open. The reason, of course, for the dead ears, you were dead in trespasses and sins, says Paul, goes back to the Garden of Eden, to the first hearing problem of all time. God says to Adam, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Of course, they didn't physically die that day, did they? They lived and produced many generations, in fact, all the generations ever since. But they were dead in trespasses and sins, as were all the generations ever since. Born spiritually blind, dead, deaf, enemies of God. If this reading is a story about Jesus' compassion to supply for this man what he needed, since he, Christ, is the only one who could, it's a metaphor for the compassion that sent the only begotten Son of God into human flesh. When the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, it's that compassion that sent him to the cross to suffer the penalty for the blind, dead enemies of God, that includes all of mankind since Adam and Eve. And after his resurrection, he said to his church, to the apostles, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ, the Christ, to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Hearing that word, word of the suffering and death and resurrection of the Son of God. That's God's means, his tool to bring men to Christ. To bring men to Christ. We make a great thing about the Word of God, and we ought to. It is God's means. But it's not the end. The end is Christ himself. He who became flesh in our behalf and went to the cross to pay for our spiritual deafness and blindness. The end is Christ. Dr. Luther, writing in his small called articles, which are in your Book of Concord, says this about the means that we call the Word. God is super and abundantly generous in his grace, first through the spoken word. And note here, he doesn't begin with the written word, which is where it all comes from for us. First, through the spoken word, by which the forgiveness of sins is preached in the whole world. This is the particular office of the gospel. Second, through baptism. Third, through the holy sacrament of the altar. Fourth, through the power of the keys. Also, through the mutual conversation and consolation of the brethren, where two or three are gathered, and so on. On a personal note, I was pleased to see so many of you crossing yourselves. I was over 40 years old, studying for the ministry, before I got comfortable with that. I had a problem with it. What finally convinced me was reading Luther's Small Catechism in German. His section on prayers, he says, when you get up in the morning, and I had always read in my English translation, make the sign of the cross. And what picture comes to mind there? To a young fellow, the pastor sitting in the pew, beginning the worship service, making the sign of the cross. It's not what Luther wrote. If you look it up in German, he says, bless yourself with the sign of the Holy Cross. And then say, bless yourself. I love it. It's my baptism. Remembered. It's that touch. Receive the sign of the Holy Cross, both upon your forehead and above your heart, to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. The ways in which God brings us his word are legion. The hymns that we have sung so far express exactly what I'm trying to say in this sermon. We are gathered here to hear thee. And so on. The mutual conversation of the brethren. What you say, what you do, who you are, speaks volume. May the message we all speak be, he hath done marvelous things. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Ephatha. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Life, grant them a place at thy heavenly table,
For they shall eat of the eternal manna and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own sake. Amen.
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 Son and the Holy Ghost art one God, one Lord, and in the confession of the only true God we worship the Trinity in person and the unity in substance of majesty co-equal. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
Oh,
skipped us over the hymn, did I not?
Let's sing 3, 4, 7.
In heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper and said, take, drink. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Peace of the Lord be with you all.
Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. True blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of his sin. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sin. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sin. Body and blood of our Lord, strengthen and preserve you and keep you in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Peace of the Lord be with you always. 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 Depart in peace.
Strengthen and keep you steadfast in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Thank you.
body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin.
Take and drink.
This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission. Body and blood of our Lord, strengthen and keep you steadfast in the one true faith, unto life everlasting. Keep heart in peace. Amen.
Upon thee and give thee peace.